Welcome, folks, to the 22nd of June, 2022. There's lots of twos in today's date. We have a really cool agenda today with some demos, which we haven't had some demos in a little while, so I'm pretty excited about that. This is a Hyperledger call, and so the Hyperledger antitrust policy and the Hyperledger code of conduct are in effect. To help safeguard our work and help us be excellent to each other. The attendees list is on the agenda. I will, for those who joined since the last time I pasted it, I will paste it in the chat again. Welcome to add yourself to the attendees list. That helps keep track of each other and folks contact you if interested in stuff that you're talking about. Is there anyone new to our group attending today that would like to introduce themselves?
Yes. Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello. I'm Nikos Karpsoulis from InnoPact, I'm joining the call today if there is a chance to have a discussion about some work that we are doing on a project, of course, which is relevant to Hyperledger. And since we're having focusing on wallets, on this kind of thing. And I will try to elaborate more if there is time, of course. And
Of course, and if we don't have time to discuss today, then let me know and I can put some time on the agenda to make sure that we talk about relevant topics that you'd like to discuss.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Does anyone else like to introduce themselves? We are grateful that you are all here. Okay, I didn't update the announcements. This is not here. Also, a reminder about the components from the Kiva protocol has previously been supporting. We brought that up the last 2 weeks. Any announcements that should be on my list but are not? Excellent. Would any projects within the Aries community like to update us on release status or work updates?
I should give a quick update on Akapai. We had we're trying to get 074, tons and tons of things in it. We had a slight misstep in pushing out release candidate 3, which had introduced a bug in it. So we've replaced it with release candidate 4. We think we have just one more, maybe two more PRs that are going to go into the release, and then we're done. So 074 will be out. Apologies for the misstep on 7.3. We are certainly learning a bunch about what happens when a ledger and a wallet of an issuer get out of sync as far as revocation goes. We're cleaning one up. And interesting to see and understand exactly what you have to do and how little you have to do, which it is kind of encouraging, but still definitely something you want to think about if you're an issuer and you have revocation supported. So talk to us about experiences we're having.
Stephen, it may be worth actually outlining that in a future call. Both the detection of the problem and what's been done about it and advice for other software that is doing this.
Yep.
So
agreed. Yep.
Cool. Let's let that all settle, and then we can learn from your wisdom.
Yeah.
Excellent.
One other thing that we're working on is an Aries for those that are using ledgers, indie ledgers in particular that require endorsers. We are working on an indie endorser service. An Aries endorser service, much like the Aries mediator service, a way to have an agent that acts as an endorser for, say, an enterprise. It will have a user interface on it so that you can have a first-time issuer can go to the endorser, say, endorse this, and there can be some human intervention to say, do we really want to endorse this? And then set a policy where future requests from that same entity would be automatically approved and things like that. So that work is coming along. If anyone's interested in that, let me know and we can share information about it and collaborate on it.
Very cool. Any other work updates?
I can note that Aries Framework JavaScript is nearing a 0.2.0 release, and there's lots of other work that is happening. So ideally 0.3.0 and other features will be following soon thereafter.
Awesome.
I guess I should just jump in with this question, but Stephen, for that component you were talking about, is there any interest in it having a registrar or checkout style experience?
I don't know what that means, so yes. What is that? What is, sorry, what does that mean?
Checkout. Well, if someone's coming to it to say, I want the following rights on the ledger, and it assists them in that process, it could feel much like a DNS registrar where you're checking out, or you're purchasing a bunch of domain names. Effectively, you're saying, I want to be onboarded for the fall, and here's how much it will cost me. And you could have a shopping cart style experience in its interface.
I'd be very interested in that. Point me in the direction.
Awesome. I'm assuming that's going to happen since Nathan volunteered.
Nathan's gone quiet.
Well, he might be hunting a link.
No, I just don't want to distract anybody. It was just supposed to be a question, not a tangent.
Oh, okay. He's baiting our interest. That's what's happening.
Yes,
here. I hear that.
He got me. He got me.
Well, thank you for that. Okay. On our agenda today, first we have Thomas from Red Hat, and then as overflow topics, we have, and I think we will have time, Stephen, we have an overlay capture architecture demo with Arizona and OnCreds that Stephen has volunteered, and then alternatives to device binding attachments with this discussion. And we talked about that last time, and so we have some follow-on this time. Stephen, we may want to have a discussion after Thomas about which one of these we want to have first. Let's wait till that happens to have that. Any adjustments to the agenda before we hand this over to Thomas and get started? All right. No one has spoken, which means we're happy to pass this over to Thomas and to for the Apache Camel demo.
Okay.
And you can share.
Okay, let me share this. Right, so you should be seeing a red slide, are you?
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Fantastic, okay. Right, so this is Thomas from Red Hat. I've been working in middleware for quite some time, 15 plus years, and it started off with JBoss, the JBoss application server, later than Red Hat, and now it's IBM, really. Right, so that's about me, and now let's talk about Camel. Apache Camel is an integration framework between, you know, systems. If you have a heterogeneous architecture, various systems wanting to talk to each other, you need a piece in the middle that negotiates this and sends messages around. So we have the concept of a route, which is displayed in the slide. It's very basic, you know, it consumes some stuff from an FTP server and sends it to an active MQ queue, right? So a messaging framework. So in Camel, the whole thing of, you know, the details of accessing an FTP server and the details of accessing the active MQ queue are hidden, you know, and all the user sees is, you know, basically these two lines of code from FTP to active MQ. And this is called a route. Camel supports various data formats. There are quite a few. So you have, you know, you have CSV, and you have, you know, well, I don't know, you have JSON, and so this allows you this allows you to transform the native CAML payload, which is similar to, you know, a dictionary or a hash table, into that other data format that the other end understands. So then CAML has, let me show you, CAML has the concept of components. So in this slide, we see two components. We see the FTP component and we see the ActiveMQ component. So we have more than 300 components in CAML. Let me see if I can, does this work? Do you see these components now?
We do.
Okay, so great. So here you have all the various components, you know, so, you know, lots of stuff on AWS and, well, you know, you can think of a third-party system and very likely CAML has a component for it. And this talk is about providing, CAML component for Hyperledger Aries. So one more thing I'd like to mention is that there is a fantastic book about enterprise integration patterns. This is here, the link here. Let's see if we can click on that so I can show you the book. Yeah, this is the book. Yeah, so it's a big book. It's got like hundreds and hundreds, 600 pages, and talks about all these enterprise integration patterns. So you have message routers, message translator, dead letter channel, all sorts of things, and all these well-established patterns. And they are in a way Java agnostic or language agnostic. Yeah, so these are general patterns that you might find in other frameworks as well. And CAML has implemented most of them, I think. So this is all you need to know about CAML, and we can jump right into it. And here we see our first use case for a CAML Hyperledger Aries route. So it goes from direct. So this is to say the user directly inputs some data. And in this case, it inputs some data that allows the component to create a credential definition. And if we can see this, yeah, here, down here, auto schema is true. So this, this route would create a credential definition from whatever the user puts in the body of that particular route, or it could be in the header as well. So a message in CAML, I might want to say this, a message in CAML has a body, which is, you know, dictionary or map, and it also has headers, very similar to HTTP. And data, you know, data can be part of either headers or body. And the route, you know, sort of routes the message from component to component, and each component does stuff with it. So in this particular case, the payload of the message eventually reaches the Hyperledger Aries component, and we are accessing a service credential definitions. And by the way, these services, which I call, you know, service equals slash credential definitions, they correspond to the JSON RPC paths. So if you have a JSON RPC path, which is well documented in Aries, you can use that very likely in the CAML component, right? Okay, if you have questions, please jump in, and if this should not be clear. Right, so this is the basic building blocks. So we have routes, and as part of our routes, we access the Hyperledger Aries component. Right, so as the way I was approaching this was, I take the very well-known Alice Farber Acme Thrift, you know, work through that you all very familiar about, And I try to implement that workflow in plain Java. You know, we have the excellent library from Bosch that Philip is working on. And I try to do this. So it's, let me see if I can. No, that's I can't do that right now. I can show you the code for this. It's very long, you know, and it goes through all the steps of onboarding the various players, and then Alice receives the transcript and then applies for a job and then applies for a loan and so on and so on. So once that was working, I did the same with Camel. So I have, let me see. So I have the same workflow using Camel routes. So for that, I implemented the Aries Camel component. So it understands the various JSON RPC paths and transforms the Camel messages into the JSON object that the Java library expects, and vice versa. So, you know, as you can see, this is not rocket science, right? So this is simply using Camel tech to transform messages from what the Java client already understands and delivers and feeds it into Camel and vice versa. Right, so we also have a project called Nessus Aries, and Nessus Aries is my own little incubator for stuff that isn't quite ready to go into Camel upstream and also has no other good home for it. So it's not part of the Aries Java client, it's not part of Camel. So this is stuff in between, right? And its main purpose is really to provide an easy on-ramp for folks to get started with the technology. And this is what we're going to do now. Let me see, I stop sharing and I start sharing again, in this case, my desktop. Right. You should now be able to see my screen.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll quit this. So this is a terminal. We can, you know, there's a simple Docker Compose script that starts all the components that you're already very familiar with. So we have the Von network, and it spins up a tail server. And of course, it spins up the Indy nodes. It also provides the web server as an endpoint and AkaPy, right? So this is done. This is now running. And let me see. We have, now let me show you this. So this is, right, so we are now here. And we have done this, so it starts, and we now, it should start in a minute, it should be, should come up with the RC4 thingy, and it will in a minute, hopefully. And what else can I show you? While this is running, we make a short detour to Farver College. And as you know, Farver College issues transcripts to its students. And Farver has known about Aries for a long time because they've been using it. And now they also learned about Camel Aries, and they're familiar with integration patterns, and they have various systems at the college, and they want to integrate those with Aries. And they have a database of all their students, what they studied, and so on and so on. And in this particular case, they have the database we see for this demo is a very simple Google spreadsheet, which you will see here. So it has our, you know, Alice Garcia and her sisters, in this case, Berta, Clara, Dora, and Freya. Yeah, they all studied the same thing. They graduated, and they graduated with different averages. So at Fava, they integrated the whole thing, and they used Camel Aries to, let me see, here, to write this route. Yeah, so this is a slightly more, slightly more complex route. Actually, these are five routes altogether, and it starts with consuming data from Google Sheets and then passes them on various things. And at the end, it passes them on to, you know, the Hyperledger Aries component to create a credential offer. Right, but before we can do this, we have to spin up the little Docker container for it. Right. So here you can see we have to do a bunch of OAuth stuff. So this Java component can actually access the database, in this case, the Google Sheet. So this is now running. And we're using Camel Aries to first onboard Faber, the college itself, right? So that this has worked now. Faber has a DIT, right? So it starts the routes that are necessary to consume data from the database. Here you see the names of the routes. Yeah, so it's quite obvious, you know, it receives data from Google Sheets and so on and so on. And as part of its bootstrap procedure, you know, it creates the schema, which we will see here. It creates the schema for those transcripts, and it creates the credential definition. So back at Faber, we are now the secretary, you know, at Faber, or whoever, you know, issues these transcripts. And they are, as I said, in the database, and they are ready for publishing, right? So you know, whoever does this says, okay, I'm ready to publish this and set the status to one, right? So the route is consuming the data. And as you can see, it has seen the change in the database, and it published the transcript for Alice Garcia. We can do this a few more times, right? So this gets boring after a while, but I do all five so that all the sisters get their transcript. And maybe I should say that in this particular case, the two route, you know, once the credential is published, you know, there would normally be the email, Camel email component, and they would get notified that this is now ready available, and then she would use her wallet and import that credential and so on and so on. But in this particular case, we are not sending emails, we're just printing it to screen for this purpose, right? So, and I do this one more time, and we're done, right? So the Docker container realized that it has done its work and published all five credentials, and it shut down, right? So this is the demo. And right, so this is what we've just done now. And so if you don't have any questions about the demo, then, you know, perhaps Is there more about this coming from Red Hat around this? Well, you know, first I'd like to expand this functionality, the possible routes that you can take. They cover this workflow, but a lot of protocols are not yet supported. So I'd like to expand on that. I'm a strong believer in standards and TCKs, and I really would like to look at this a little further. And I think we talked about this already with Stephen, that I'd like to work on that. I'd like to look at stuff what the European Union is doing and whether we can, you know, do some stuff together there and interop and so on and so on. Yeah, and I think more demos is always good. And I think this concludes my little talk.
Questions? Is that good time for questions?
Of course.
I've got one, maybe a couple. What is the ability of Apache Camel when it's talking to, I forget the right word, but an endpoint or a type, right? To interact with it rather than just send messages. I'm asking this awkwardly because I'm trying to figure out the right words. But for example, if there's some sort of back and forth required when you interact with something, how much capabilities does it have to handle some back and forth as part of that, as opposed to sort of assuming that it can call an API and then the process follows?
Yeah. So yeah, very good question. So this is part of these very common enterprise integration patterns. Yeah. So generally, it is very common to receive some data from some data source and then transform this data and then perhaps split it, right? So it splits the message into five parts and it sends those to other systems, right? So they may be HTTP endpoints, they may be queues, they may be databases, and so on, you name it, you know, that there could be emails. So this would be the splitter, right? So splitter enterprise integration pattern. And for the reverse, it's very common that you need to aggregate stuff, right? So as the overall workflow may require to receive data, you know, from asynchronously from those five endpoints and maybe from some more, and then aggregate those into one or more messages and so on and so on. So Camel can be used to orchestrate the whole non-trivial workflow that a business process might require. And so Camel would sit in the middle of doing these non-trivial transactions in the business process that might span the globe, right? So different endpoints all over the place. At the end of the day, it's sending messages, right? Sending messages of a particular format to a particular system. And it can transform these messages. It can do this synchronously, asynchronously. It can split messages. It can aggregate messages. It can wait. I think all that you might want to do, Camel can actually do this in its route definition.
I think I need to read more to understand. The other observation that I have is that when you said messages, I was thinking messages, so I was thinking DIDCOM, but rather the demo that you've shown has been the interaction with the controller API provided by Akapai, which is kind of become a standard as parts of that have also been adopted by other Aries projects. And so it's, even though Camel can do messages, part of its message interaction is through an API, which is the super cool demo of having a spreadsheet of credentials to issue and then automating that process, right? That's very neat. But in this case, it's more about the API integration with Akapai in order to enable those things to happen rather than necessarily crafting a DIDCOM message, although I suspect that, you know, if Akapai had an API for sending the DIDCOM message directly to the recipient, it could, of course, do exactly that. Do I understand that right? And Stephen, that may be a question for you to make sure that I'm reading that correctly.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
So this is a piece of integration that at least I had not previously considered, in the sense that that bridging it together this way can allow for, you know, enterprise integration patterns with Camel, et cetera, yeah. Right? And so that's an interesting piece of it. It makes me think that while we have not really formalized an internal API for Aries projects, that we perhaps could. And if we did, then it would be universal around all Aries projects, not just mainly Akapai with a few others that have integrated it. Maybe we're already halfway to standardization, right? And that would be an interesting approach, so that there's more of a universal way of integrating Aries into a project, because of the commonality of that API surface.
This may be attributed to my lack of knowledge, really, right? So all I started off with was the Java Aries library, and what this thing does, you know, it sends JSON RPC calls to Akapai, you know, and this is what I viewed as this is the way to do stuff, right? So and then I came from the Python implementation of the workflow, and I translated this into Java, essentially, you know, into calls to that Java library, which then sent JSON RPC calls. This then brings me to some other interesting point. As part of the whole workflow, it's not just the request and the response objects, the JSON request and response objects coming out of Java Akapai, but a very important aspect of API are also the events that are being, you know, emitted from Akapai, which reach the client via web service calls, right? So this is an area, although these request and response messages, they're very well documented, right? And as I said, this is no rocket science, right? I could have used any framework to you know, craft these JSON RPC messages and then send them to the Akapai endpoint. But the events, the WebSocket events, they are a very important aspect of an API that a client would want to interact with, and they are not so well documented, right? So a lot of what is happening here, you know, I got it working by observation, really, you know, looking at those events and then reacting to those events, and as you said, you know, standardization is the king here, right? So if we could standardize this as one way to interact with the Aries framework, that would be great.
Yeah. So your confusion is not perhaps not your own, right? There's a handful of sort of internal issues that we haven't thoroughly dealt with inside the Aries community about this sort of a thing and about the right approach to it. I think your confusion is well founded in some aspects that we haven't served very well. I think that that further discussion of more commonality amongst the projects could result in better integration across the Aries surface in a way that would make the integration with Apache Camel more powerful. And I mean, of course, you know, we can improve documentation as part of that process, but I think that would be a really useful and powerful thing should we do it. I mean, most of Aries has been focused on sort of external integration between agents and not necessarily the commonality of API that agents might provide for integration with other non-Aries systems. And so that's what you're running into, is that you've created this example of an integration, of a backend communication between an Aries project and some other system for integration, and you've discovered the unevenness that exists inside of our world. So what you've done is really impressive, given all that you've had to go against.
Sam, I would say I characterize it a little different. One is, an incredibly important part of the ecosystem is the controller to agent interface, and that's what we've got here.
It is, but
it's
that's
done not on top of.
It's not universally shared around our community, right? That's the difference.
It is. So, what you're saying is this may or may, your results with other Aries frameworks may vary.
Right.
But that's probably okay. And the thing that I find interesting is what, this is the do it ethos of this community, which I really like, which is if you look at what the W3C VC API community is doing, they're spending literally years defining what the API is supposed to be. And here we've got an API doing the exact same function that they're defining, which is how does a business issue a credential? And here we've got not only a way to do it with ACAPI, and you can write code to do it, but now we've got an enterprise integration platform that can do it, so that we can combine this with anything else. Now, yes, it works on ACAPI, but as we know, the AF Go one is almost the same. And maybe this is the way you use it to smooth out the bumps. The AFJ one is almost the same. We can use it to smooth out the bumps if you really want to, but you can also just use ACAPI to roll out really functioning services with this that integrate deeply into your enterprise. I think it's
it is amazing. I think the only thing that's really tripped me up coming into this with not really any knowledge of what it was going to be before the demo is that it was describing this as Aries generally, which is the right approach. Yeah. But if it was renamed to ACAPI instead of Aries, then the demo would be very consistent with this is silly because it's my preconceived notions of what it was going to be. So that's there's some inaccuracies in my understanding there initially too. If we did that, then I think it would be highly accurate, right?
So in a perfect world, right? In a perfect world, what you would use on these Apache Camel endpoints would be standardized payloads and standardized paths, right? So ACAPI could be a profile of this, a configuration option. Okay, this camel route is now talking to ACAPI, but from the client's perspective, it would use ideally, it would use a standard language, a domain specific language to do stuff, right? That you can do on these trust over IP endpoints, right? And maybe one more thing I'd like to mention. Currently, this is waiting on 0.7.4, of course, and then it's waiting on the Java library to do its release. And then I can quickly do the Nessus release, right? And when I have all these releases, I can actually propose the PR to Upstream Camel, right? So it may, Camel does releases often, right? So within the year, right? Within the year, we will have, hopefully, we will have what I call Aries component, Hyperledger Aries component, and this will reach thousands and thousands and thousands of customers and clients that are already using Apache Client. In Red Hat, we of course have a productized version. Not a small number of enterprise customers. We have military. We have Schiphol, the Dutch airport is running on Camel, right? So lots and lots of large companies that already use Camel as integration platform, they will then, magically be able to use this technology in their workflow, right? I don't know what their workflow is, but with these releases, they can then integrate identity stuff into their existing workflow. And for some, it may make sense, for others not. But what we will have is the general ability, maybe limited to Akapai in the first place, yeah. But it will reach a very, very large community.
Limited it will.
To Java, of yeah. course.
And your work is amazing. What you're stumbling into by no fault of your own is that tension that we've tolerated within the Aries community about what internal API integration should look like. And the thing that I worry about is that not carefully labeled, this has the effect of promoting some projects within the Aries community as compatible and worthy, and other projects as incompatible and not worthy of those types of integrations. So this is a delicate balance here, and that it provides lots of power, but at the same time, draws upon the tension that exists and sort of places an external vote on what is in fact Aries compatible and what isn't Aries compatible. And that's not your fault, right? You're doing really cool work here, but it's basically forcing a discussion that we have, or that we need to have inside of the Aries community about that commonality that you need in order to exploit. If it, for example, were to be promoted as an Akapai interface, which is not entirely accurate since Aries Framework Go implements much of it, then there's less tension there, but that's not nearly as useful when you're trying to explain to a larger community that they can now integrate with Aries if they can only integrate with part of the Aries ecosystem or some components within the Aries ecosystem instead of more or less all of them. And so what your demo is doing is it's pointing out the fact that this tension that we've allowed to exist for a long time inside of the Aries community probably ought to get resolved one way or the other so that we can, so that the tools like the one that you've demonstrated can succeed in its goal of promoting identity-based interactions with other systems. So what you've done is really good. And so all of my comments have nothing really to do with what you've done, but about the side effects or the peripheral related topics to what you've done. And it's highlighted really well. So number one, thank you for doing this. And number two, I apologize for all of the tension or the conflict that this highlights that we need to resolve internal to the Aries community.
Okay. So I didn't even know about any tension, right?
I don't think, I think Sam sort of, all he's saying is we haven't paid attention to the backend APIs to make them consistent. We've
right.
more or less come up with one. And the others have more or less followed it, but have not tried to become completely consistent or to formalize it in any way. And
right.
so they're similar, but not exact.
So we are, I think we are in a very comfortable position right now because none of the stuff has been released, right? So the right thing to do could be perhaps, for one of you guys, like pairing up with me, joining forces, take me by the hand a little, right? So yeah, of course, because I'm still learning, right? And so we can actually get this into a state, nothing is cast in iron so far. So we can get this into a state where everyone can be happy with. Right.
Yeah.
So the well-known example workflow, the Alice thing, right? I still want this to work, right? Because it shows mm-hmm. issuing yep. of creative schemas and revocation and everything. I still want this to work. But it can work on any API on any syntax you like, right? And
yeah.
and currently it's Akapai JSON RPC, but it can be something totally different, right? And we can, for the first release, we can change it that way. So our first release can be something that is not just my brainchild, but work coming out of this community as a whole.
Paul, your hands up.
Yeah, I was wondering a little bit about your comments. To make a comparison, in the Aries world, I think we're we're trying to build an open protocol, so like email. And then AkaPy is like one program that handles IMAP protocol. Is that a fair comparison? Because then I'm a little bit confused that you say you want to harmonize the APIs of the Aries clients, because this is what the underlying Aries protocols with the RFCs are for. So if everyone's copying the AkaPy APIs, that doesn't sound right to me, or did I get that wrong?
That's the tension there, Paul, is that when we think of what we're standardizing from an Aries world, we're standardizing the DIDCOM protocols that use to interact with Aries agents in a very standard way. And there's pretty good agreement that that is true. The side effect here is that the integration with an agent that speaks DIDCOM on the front side, on the back side, often needs to speak to something else for integration. And so AkaPy, for example, has a controller architecture and AFGO has mimicked lots of that. And so, but that's something that we've never attempted to standardize inside of the Aries community. Some projects have done that and some have not. And so there's some discussion about what that should really be like. And it has largely been unresolved in the community. So Thomas, you're right that it would be great if we could work with you to standardize this. But I think prior to doing that, we need to have a discussion within our community about what in fact such a common API would be like. Is it the de facto one that was created by AkaPy, or is it one that is more appealing or more easily adoptable by other projects? And that's the unresolved question that we need to have those discussions prior to us providing you with the guide to actually standardize this prior to release. Nathan.
Well, and it's naive of us to think that it's just a de facto standard and we shouldn't question it, because there was, in fact, quite a bit of controversy around how should administrative interaction with an agent happen. Because DIDCOM's purpose was to make agents interact with other agents. It didn't address the idea of the identity owner or the administrator interacting with the agent. That was left up to the framework. And some frameworks chose to do RPC-based methods for that. Some used REST APIs, and some tried to use DIDCOMs directly and define protocols and DIDCOM message families to do the same thing. And it wasn't clear which way would lead to the least complexity. A lot of the early implementers decided to use the DIDCOMs method, thinking, well, I wrote all this DIDCOMs code, I might as well just use it. And then others came along and said, but you're not integrating with DIDCOM's things. You should use something else for all those parts. And both have had pluses and minuses, depending on what kind of interaction system you're building. And we're going to end up with probably a mix of all of the above. And that's one of the questions that this comes back to, is when we standardize DIDCOM's things to do administrative work, what protocol technologies are the right ones to make that happen?
Stephen.
To me, the next step would be, and this would be more or less a single person, you know, small team sort of effort, would be to take what's been done either here or in a similar way and say, okay, now we take it at AkaPy and we plug in AFJ and we see what happens. We see what the delta is between them. We take it out and we put in AFGO and see, but having a second one, either one of them, would be really useful to see, how close they are, where do they differ? Just basically take a look at the swagger between the two, find the delta, and then see how important it is and see how easy it would be to come up with a way to do it. Now, that's still going to not address some of the things Nathan talked about, which is just the overall technology of where to do the API. I'm not sure how to do that. I think just figuring out what the endpoints are, ignoring the mechanism, that would be interesting.
I think that what what Nathan highlighted is that there's two existing predominant ways of interacting from the back end. One is the controller interface provided by AkaPy and the event stream that it produces. The other one are the protocols used by the Aries toolbox and the subsequent platforms. And those are the two predominant approaches that exist today and that are both under active use and development. And so I think prior to saying, well, let's see what your assumption was revealed when you said, well, let's look at the difference in the swagger. and there isn't a Swagger interface from a DidCom perspective. And so one of the things that I think we should do is organize a conversation, probably soon, like next week, or perhaps the week after, depending on our schedule, that actually compares and we get to sort of openly discuss a couple of different approaches here to then sort of raise awareness of the issue within the community, and so that we understand the sides of it pretty well, and then have a discussion about, well, if we had to pick one, then which one is it? And it may be that the answer isn't that we don't actually pick one, and then we work with Thomas and others to create sort of an external interface that acknowledges the presence of more than one. And that way, perhaps we have two sort of camel, flavors that can be used depending on which project you're using internally. There's a couple of options there, including the fact that AKAPI, one natively and one through a plugin, actually talks both of them. And so that would be an interesting aspect of this. We're close on time. James.
Yeah, the quick thing I'd note there is that I see a third option, specifically from the AFJ perspective. AFJ will, one of the extensions provides API interface as discussed. The other method is actually just directly calling it as like a library inline to the code. So it's not taking a DidCom perspective, nor is it providing a Swagger or API perspective. And I think that's also a valuable route. If that makes any sense.
It does. Paul also has an excellent, I'm not going to read it, but Paul has an excellent comment also in the chat that I think is worth bringing up. So, Thomas, you've started the right kind of argument inside of our community. and so we will do so, but the next step is not to immediately work with you, I think, to resolve stuff, but to try and decide internally about what approach might make the most sense inside of our community. And then I think it's a lot easier to work with you to help resolve that.
Well, all this conversation sort of aims at sort of expanding this horizontally, right? So currently it can do AKAPI pretty well, for the workflow. And there may be other systems, other ARI systems it wants to talk to, ideally based on the standard. But in my humble opinion, this can come later, right? So we could, if I rename the component and say this is an AKAPI component, right, we wouldn't have this conversation, right? So yeah. we could still release this as the as the camel component that can do identity stuff, and it is currently limited to AKAPI, right? End of story. And over time, not preconditioning this on the other available options, but over time the component can evolve. Accommodating more and more identity, controllers or whatever systems, and ideally a common standard, right? But I don't see why this should be preconditioned on it.
I'm unsurprised that Stephen's happy with it, because this selects his. Now, if we name it, that's better. And this is a duocracy, which means you can do whatever the heck you want, really. And I think that naming it accurately is probably the only real conversation that we can have. And given that this is a duocracy, that's how this works. It does, in the communities that you were released it into, it natively favors one ARIES project over others, or the subset that support this approach as opposed to other approaches, and that is fully within your right to do so.
I would add that's desirable, yeah, because form follows function. If it works, then it should win.
It does. The side effect here is that because Thomas discovered one method prior to understanding or knowing about the others, then that's selected as the winner in this particular horse race, which in a duocracy is the way things work. And so there's not really a substantial argument, except the rest of us better hurry up if we think another approach is better and promote a different way of doing this. Your answer, I think, is right. And in this particular horse race, it ends up those who do choose what they want to win. You've done the work, and so you get to choose that as a winner. Nathan, in the last minute.
Okay. One plug for the way that the Aries framework or the Aries toolkit works is that it makes admin messages routable over multiple hops. So if we really believe that wallets are going to be something people can use across multiple devices, we need ways to make sure admin messages get to them without being censored or without having the ability to talk directly to them through firewalls and other corporate structures that naturally exist in the places that devices run around in. So there is a really strong technical set of reasons around our cryptography to not use the RPC or REST API methods for doing administrative work. Does that mean we should stop doing what was shown in the Apache Camel project integration? No, it means that's really cool and really useful. We should do it. But it means that there's also a whole bunch of work here. And I think anyone who is promoting that other set of work shouldn't feel disheartened or worried that this is going to dominate the future. If it's useful, certainly it'll be out there. It'll do a lot of things to help promote what's going on. But there are lots of really good reasons we also need that other approach.
So this is really good conversation. We have enough stuff with the overlay, device binding from Paul and the discussion from Stephen that will likely comprise the bulk of our meeting next week. But I would like to schedule for the week after that a discussion of there's lots of folks that are new to the area, and so having an overview of both the Aries toolbox admin message approach and the surface area of the Akapai REST API, I think would be a useful thing to help us all understand sort of what the state of things is, and then we can have a good conversation about what those things might potentially be. And Nathan makes a good point, is that we, because of the, this might not be the fact that one is better than another, that be given the utility of both approaches, it might be worth tolerating both, which because of those advantages there. And that would actually more or less continue to support the tension that we've got, but in a really useful way, or at least in a way that we can document more cleanly within the community. 2 weeks then for Paul. Okay. We'll go ahead and handle that. I'm writing myself a note. Excellent. Thank you, Thomas. And we will continue some discussion and we'll get back to you. Appreciate everyone here in the awesome discussion we've had today.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Phil.